Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett, now on the U.S. Supreme Court, already has participated in one of the most significant religious free exercise cases in recent decades. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Justice Barrett, and I like that sound of
it. I know,
that,
I like
Holly.
That ring to it. And she jumped right in and started working right away, didn't she?
She did. The Wednesday, right after the election, was a major case. It's the case of Fulton versus the city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. And this case really pits the free exercise clause of the First Amendment against the LGBT agenda. It involves a Catholic ministry that is an adoption agency and also foster care placement ministry. And the local laws require these adoption agencies, including faith-based ones, to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs by placing children in same-sex households or transgender households or whatever kind of combination in which these children are not going to be in the best optimal environment. They've already gone through trauma for some reason or another. Either they're in foster care because there's been some kind of family trauma, or they're in adoption because their family has abandoned them or put them up for adoption voluntarily for whatever reason. So they've already gone through that trauma. Now these ministries want to put these children in the best environment. And the best environment, we know, not only from research, but just plain common sense, is to put children in homes with a mother and a father.
Right.
And so these ministries are being told, well, in order to keep your ministry license of adoption and foster care placement, you have to violate your sincerely held religious beliefs and put these children in homes that go directly against your core doctrine and biblical foundation.
Yeah, I mean, regarding the children, the studies have shown, as you mentioned before, that those who are raised in same-sex households are more likely to have poor educational attainment, to cohabitate when they become adults, to be sexually molested, have sexually transmitted diseases, to smoke tobacco and marijuana, to be on public assistance as adults, to be in mental health counseling or therapy and suffer from depression. I mean, and the list goes on.
It goes on and on. And for example, girls that are raised in lesbian households without a father, for example, they are much more likely to engage in various kinds of experimental sexual acts at a younger age, mm-hmm. by far, than children who are raised in a home with a mother and a father. Father has an anchoring, stable environment that comes to the family that you don't have. In fact, it's the opposite with a lesbian or two lesbians in the same home.
You know, Matt, I think of, I have a distant family member, and they are a lesbian couple, and they're raising a young boy together. And I just, my heart breaks because I think he doesn't have a solid male, you know, role model. He doesn't have someone who will play catch with him. He's got two females raising him, and
yeah.
that's just not the
and
way God created it.
And children clearly do best with yeah. a home with a mom and a dad. That's how God created the created order.
Right.
The male and the female bring different components to that relationship that one absent does not provide. And what happens is, obviously, dual parenting between a mother and a father is much more beneficial than single parenting, but it's different than even single parenting, because when you have dual parents of the same sex, what happens is not only do you permanently preclude that one gender from the child's environment, mm-hmm. but you skew, you negativize the absent gender. So two women will not just have the absence of the male, but has a negative spin or view or angle to the male, and vice versa with two men. The same thing with not only having the absent mom, but having a negative spin to that opposite sex.
Right, because you look at the reason why they're in that relationship. There's been some pain, some kind of distortion in their relationship with their parents.
Yeah, and they've had some kind of sexual molestation.
Right.
This is a very significant issue. But in addition to this case, by the way, you say, well, you know, that's going to be a critical case, no question. Listen, Jesus said that it would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the depths of the ocean and drowned than for you to cause one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. And that's in fact what these ministries are in that position of, placing these children in the best possible environment where they can be raised to love God and follow the Lord and have the best possible family unit for them. But in addition to the specific application, what's also before the court is whether the court should overrule this 30-plus-year-old precedent called the Smith decision. It goes back to 1990, and it's the worst decision on free exercise in the history of the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, it was written by Scalia. It was his by far worst decision ever. Mm. And what did he do? Before 1990, if you had a general law that applies to religious and non-religious activities, you still have the First Amendment because it provides special treatment, and you could bring the First Amendment claim and win in many cases. After 1990, what Smith did is it neutralized the First Amendment and weakened it so that if you have a neutral law that applies to religion and non-religion, you lose. Let me give you an example. Before 1990, if you had a mandatory vaccination program, you could raise free exercise to say, now I know it requires everyone, but I have a particular religious belief that's contrary, and or my belief is I don't want to inject aborted fetal cells into my body. I believe in the sanctity of human life.
Right. I would ask for a religious accommodation.
So you ask for a religious accommodation, you likely would win that. After 1990, if everybody is covered, unless you have some state law that gives you protection, you lose it. Or take, for example, in the church context, if the government said no one can have more than 10 people in their building, whether it's a grocery store, a big box center, or a church, and a church brings a free exercise claim, you lose. But that's after 1990. Before that, the church could win because the free exercise gives special treatment to religious free exercise. The only way you win now is to argue that there is discriminatory application, that they're exempting some secular organizations or gatherings or secular aspects, but not exempting religion. That's the only way you win today. What's before the court is, let's get rid of that case, this bad 30-year-old precedent. It's because of that case that the federal religious free exercise law, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, was passed. It's because of that case. That's why a number of the states passed the state religious freedom law in order to go back to the way it was before 1990, but many states don't have that.
Right. So this case is monumental. I mean, it's not just protecting these children, but it's protecting our religious freedom.
It's huge. I mean, it will affect everything, not just on the children, like you're saying, not just on these religious ministries, not just the clash between the free exercise and the LGBT agenda, but religious freedom across the board.
Especially like religious employers, right? That would have an effect on them.
Everything. So if Ginsburg were on the bench, we know exactly where she would go. She would side with the LGBT agenda and against the First Amendment free exercise. But we now have Ginsburg replaced by Justice Barrett. Mm-hmm. The justices have already voted. By the way they vote is at the end of the week of the argument, they vote. And either at that point in time, the most junior justice, Barrett, is irrelevant to the vote, or the most important person in the room. What do I mean? The vote starts off with the Chief Justice, then moves to the next one, which would be the most senior, that's Thomas, and moves all the way down to the final most junior. At that point in time, it could be overwhelming one way, and that vote is not going to make a big difference. On the other hand, if it's 4-4, then Justice Barrett becomes the most important vote on the High Court. Wow. To split that 4-4 division. Pray for Justice Barrett as she is now on the court just in time for this monumental decision. Pray for this case, the Fulton case. It is a huge free exercise of religion case. And by the way, pray for our church cases. Now that Justice Barrett is on the court, I'm very thankful about that because we have our Elim Romanian Pentecostal Church and Logos Baptist Ministry case before the U.S. Supreme Court for consideration for the High Court to take it and rule on the merits. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. Sign up for our various emails and newsletters. Hit the subscribe button at lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.